Go to the word. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you for everybody here. I thank you for those that are first time, those that are back for many times. Lord, come and move with us and let us never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So guys, here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a life reset. Over this last few weeks, Nikki's been preaching, Karen's been preaching. It's my turn next. I get to talk to us. And what I feel the Lord wants to bring us into, he's been praying over this last few weeks, is this idea of what if our life needs a reset? What if your life needs a reset? What if things have been going pretty good or they've been maybe going okay, but they could be better? You know, sometimes what happens is you get in a way of going in life, and before you know it, you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And sometimes that's really good, but then there are other times in your life you go, oh, I need a change. Like, I need a change. I'm desperate for a change. Or maybe you're here today and you're going, I'm not sure if I need a change, but if you got it, you'd be like, oh, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. I needed that drink. I needed that refreshing. I needed that change of pace. And I want to talk today about what about a life reset where we would just be a different person, where something would just change inside of us, where we would get what we need, and it would allow us to go on the next part of our journey. Here's something I saw a few weeks ago. It was like a video scene, and it was someone sharing, and they said, what would it be like if you got to heaven? You know this place called heaven? If you read the Bible, you'll discover this place called heaven. And what it says is a place with gold streets. It's a place with no sickness. It's a place with no tears. In fact, it's an incredible place. Let me tell you a quick story. Years ago, when I was in our old church, listen, they'll love the church. But when I was very young, probably 2 or 3 or maybe 15, sometimes I got bored in church. Anybody get bored in church? You better not raise your hand. Okay, yeah, Diana, just permission to hit. If you're a mom, you're allowed to do it. Amen, just not too much. But I got sometimes a little bit bored in church, and it was my fault, not theirs. So I would do 2 things. I would either walk around the building and I don't know, just throw stones or something, or I would come in and I would read the Bible. That's a good thing. And so I would read Revelation 21, and it would tell me about the gold streets. It would tell me how good heaven's going to be. It would tell me that everything you want is there. It's going to be incredible. And it would get me excited. But this is what the video said. It said, what if you got to heaven and the goal was there and the health was there and your friends were there and everything was perfect, but Jesus wasn't there? Would it be enough? Would it be enough? And it began to challenge me. And I thought to myself, whoa, if I had everything I ever wanted, if the temperature was great, if the climate was great, if the food was great, if the friends were great, if we never got sick, if we were always happy, gosh, that would be pretty good. That'd be amazing. But I began to realize that is not the point of our life, but maybe that's what we've been drawn into, that if your life is just a tiny bit better, you'd be happier. That if the weather was just a tiny bit better, you'd be more productive. And you can go down all of those paths, but you know what you will get at the end? Emptiness. Emptiness. Because the whole point of this planet and the whole point of heaven is Jesus. Jesus, church. And I want to speak to us today about a life reset, because you could be on the pursuit of happiness or the pursuit of fulfillment or the pursuit of satisfaction, and you could get all of those things. But if you don't get Jesus, you have really nothing. I want to read a couple of verses. Revelation 21, if you want to go there. Revelation 21, here's what it says. Verse 3, verse 1 and 2 says he's making a new heaven, a new earth. And then it says in verse 3, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. Wow. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. The reason why this is important, church, is before the gold streets are mentioned, before the no sickness is mentioned, before the no sin is mentioned, before all the perfect climate is mentioned, this is what's mentioned first. God's there. God's there in the midst of us. Jesus is there. This is the point of heaven, that Jesus would be with us, that God would be with us. And I want to go on a journey today and maybe over this next few weeks where we begin to discover that there's nobody like Jesus. Amen? That there's just nobody like him. And that if you get Jesus and you only have what he gives you, then you're missing out on the personal relationship that you can have with him. We're going to go point number one. We can follow Jesus for what he gives us. Here's the challenge, church, and it's happened all the way through scripture. What if you follow Jesus, but it's not really for him, but it's really for what he gives you? And I want to challenge us today that maybe there's a change that we can make and that we could begin to pursue Jesus because of love and because of him first, and everything else would flow from it. So John chapter 6, we're going to go there just for a few minutes. I want to read the context of the story. But if you remember, John chapter 6 is feeding the 5,000. Incredible story. You've got these people, they're hungry, there's no food anywhere, and the disciples come up with a great idea, we should tell them to go home. Why don't we just tell the guys to go home? You know, when someone comes right to your house, you're like, oh, like we don't have much. Hey, we have to go. You may not have to go, but you're just embarrassed that you have no food, so you're like, we got to get these guys to go home. Well, Jesus says, no, we got to feed them. If they're our people, if they've come to be with us, then we have to have a plan. And the problem with a plan is you have to have something to make a plan, but the disciples didn't have anything. So they asked the question, is there anybody that's got any food whatsoever? And sure enough, a small boy comes and he's got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. That's like a happy meal with 20,000 people. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's not going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough. And yet, here's the interesting thing. They take the happy meal, they give it to Jesus, and he blesses it, and it just starts serving everybody. And 20,000 people later, there's still food left over. It's an unbelievable miracle. Unbelievable. It says there are 12 baskets left over, and everybody left full. They were sleepy. They were so full. You know what I'm saying? They have ate so much, they're like, oh my gosh, we're so full. That's how good God blessed. And then it says this. This is what's so interesting. It says that verse 26 of 6, it says they came looking for him the next day. And Jesus says this to the people. You're looking for me because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Wow. Jesus starts to look at the people and he says, guys, I understand what's going on here. You came yesterday. You saw a miracle. But really what affected you was your bellies. And you've come back today looking for another miracle. But you're not really wanting the miracle. You're wanting another free feed. You know what I'm saying? You want another free meal. And Jesus begins to push into their hearts. Because here's the thing about the Lord. It's not that he doesn't want to give you a free meal. It's not that he doesn't want to give you stuff. But he's worried. He's concerned that you would miss him in the midst of the blessing. That you would miss him in the midst of the blessing. Because here's the point of your life, is that you would come to Christ, that you would find salvation, that you would find a home in Jesus, and he would forever change your life. And then here's the good news. No matter what you would go through, no matter what you would face, it would be okay because you've got Jesus. It would be okay. Church, I just want to underline that just for a minute. Sometimes we can live our lives, even as Christians, and we say this, well, if it's a good day, I'll be blessed. If God helps me, I'll be blessed. Or maybe we say it like this. If I get a good week, then I'm coming to worship on Wednesday because it's going to be all right. But if my week doesn't go that good, well, the Lord will understand. I'll not come. Church, I want to say this. We don't follow Jesus for what he gives us. We follow Jesus because of love. Amen? We follow Jesus because of a relationship. I follow Jesus because he radically transformed my life and I've never found anyone like him. That's how good he is. I follow Jesus because I've met a man who loves me unconditionally and I've not found anybody else like Jesus. He transforms me every single day. And this is what Jesus was trying to get to the people. He said, I don't want you to be misunderstood. So I have to confront this right from the beginning. Don't follow me for what I give you. Follow me because of me. Because if you follow me for what I give you, guess what? Here's what happens, church. Somebody else comes along better with a better offer. You're like, nobody can be better than Jesus. Oh yeah, they can. Because the Lord knows what's right and what's good for you. And so with wisdom, sometimes he gives and sometimes he takes away. Sometimes he gives you less than you want because he knows it's not good for you. Sometimes he won't reveal the full future because he knows if he reveals the full future, you'll be too scared. You won't do it. But you know, there are other sources outside of the kingdom of God and they will give you all what you want. It might come with a cost you can't pay, but you won't know that till later on. And that's the big problem. And so therefore, if you follow Jesus for what he gives you, there'll always be somebody better. There'll always be a better offer. And before you know it, I've moved on. God's not as good as I thought. I find somebody else gives me what I want when I want it. And that's the dilemma of life. But church, what if we follow Jesus for him and him alone and his love was enough? And as he leads our lives, he blesses us with everything that we need at the right time, never too early, never too late. And what we discover is a relationship with Jesus is better than anything else. Verse 26, you're looking for me because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And Jesus says, you're not here for me. You're here for what I give you. Let this challenge our hearts today, church. Jesus says, you're not here for me. You're here for what I give you. Can I ask you a question? Are you here for Jesus or are you here for something else? Come on, you got to be real. You got to be real. Are you here for Jesus? Are you here for something else? Because here's sometimes what happens in church. What happens in church is like, they didn't have all the things they needed, so I decided to find another one. Church, come on. I'm not coming to church to get my needs fulfilled by the service, by the, the food or the people or the equipment or any of those things. I'm coming to meet with Jesus. I'm coming to worship him. I'm coming to meet with him first, and then from that place, everything else will flow. But he's my priority. He's the one that I'm coming to meet. He's the one that leads my life. He's the one that transformed my life. Amen? And when you get a fresh glimpse of him, everything changes. And so what about you? Are you seeking him when you need something? Are you seeking him when you need something only? Because here's the problem with that lifestyle. If you only seek him when you need him, you'll drift when times are good. If you only seek him when you need him, you will drift when times are good. And the problem with drifting when times are good, sin will come in. It always does. Sin will come in. Complacency will come in. Other ideas will come in. Other lovers will come in. Other possessions will come in. Because when you're hungry and you're desperate, you'll seek God. But life's not always like that. The goodness of God is that many times you're blessed, but I want to challenge your heart. Do you seek God the same way when you're desperate? Do you seek him the same way when you're blessed? Do you seek him the same way when your cup overflows? Do you seek him the same way when everything's good? Because if you don't, you drift. And drifting is probably the worst thing that can happen in life because you don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know where you're going to end up. I want to encourage you, church, stay close to God. Here's the shift. Jesus shifts the whole thing in verse 35. He says, I'm the bread of life. And here's what Jesus does. If you've not read the whole thing, I encourage you this week. Read John 6. Here's what Jesus does. He blesses them on day number one with feeding the 5,000. Day number two comes and he says, okay, I need to change this thing up because guys are going to misunderstand. They're going to think I'm a genie, but I'm a savior. They're going to think I'm a genie that gives them everything they ever want, but I'm not a genie. I'm a savior. I'm a rescuer. I'm a redeemer. I'm the son of God. I will lead them and I will guide their life. But they don't know what they need. I do. And so on day number one, he blesses them to show them that I'm a God who provides. But then day number two, he says, I'm a God that needs to lead. And so he comes in day number two and he says, guys, you're not getting this. You're following me for the signs. And then he begins to intensify some things. And he says, church, are you here for me? Or are you here for what you can get? And then he begins to say, I'm the bread of life. And if you want me, you've got to give all of me. And then verse 66, here's what it says. After Jesus makes it plain and he says, guys, bread's not what's going to supply your life. Bread's not what's going to satisfy you. It's going to be me. It's not going to be possessions that's going to fully satisfy. It's not going to be the stuff that fully satisfies. It's not going to be the friend or the wife or the girl. All those things are fine, but they will not fully satisfy. It will be me. And then he challenges them. He says, guys, are you going to follow me and me alone? Or are you going to be distracted with other things? Here's what it says in verse 66. It says, many turned back and no longer followed him. Isn't that so interesting, guys? In the space of 2 days, you go from free happy meals to, it's too much. Sorry, we're out. Do you know what I'm trying to say, church? It's like you go from one day where God's incredible till the day God challenges you. And it came as a challenge, but you got offended. It came as a challenge, but you thought it was too costly. It came as a challenge, but you said it was too much. And then before you know it, in the space of 2 days, you have known the goodness of God, and then you've rejected God, and now you're on your own. And I want to say this, church, don't let that mistake happen to us. Instead, let us be the ones that will stay. Let us be the ones that will stay. So point number one, we can follow him for what he gives, but we got to follow him because of his heart. Point number two, Jesus never offered benefits. He offered himself. I don't know if you've ever been to a job application and you find yourself in a position where maybe you got the interview and you go to the interview and you say, hey, I would like this or like that. And you maybe ask for some benefits. You're like, I want extra holidays. I want extra salary or like the expenses of my car pay. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of things you can maybe ask for. But can I say this, that you don't come to God and negotiate a deal. Have you ever noticed that? You just don't come to God and negotiate a deal. In fact, he says, I don't like anything you have, but I'll take you. I'll bless you. There's nothing you can offer me, but I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. And here's what Jesus said to his early disciples, Matthew 4:19. I condense the whole verse down to this. He just says, follow me. There's no negotiation over holidays, sick pay, time off, cars, offices, benefits, expenses. There's none of that. He just reduces the whole thing down to follow me. Because here's the heart of the kingdom, church, is that you would just follow God. It wouldn't be where you would come to him and you'd make deals and strike deals and get this thing and get this thing, that thing. It would just be you would come to God and you would get him and he would be more than enough. But you know what the goodness of God is, church? Is that if you get him, you get all the blessings of him as well. You get all the blessings of him as well. But I want to encourage you, if you only get the blessing but you miss the Savior, then you miss everything. You miss everything. And so today, as we're in church and today, as we're worshiping the Lord, I want to say to you, don't miss the Savior. Don't miss the Savior. Come follow me. Let's look at three quick things. The call is not use me, but follow me. You see, sometimes we can say, God, I want you to fix my life. But God says, Jesus said, just come walk with me. Sometimes, oh, Lord, I want you to fix my life. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. But let me tell you, I just want to follow him. Because I don't know what he needs to fix in me. I think I know, but I want to follow him. And as he follows me, as I follow him, he'll transform me. Number two, eternal life is knowing him. Here's what it says in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you would know him. This is eternal life, that you would get all the stuff you want. No, this is eternal life, that you would know him. This is why maybe today you need a life reset, because you're like, okay, I thought it was about the things. Jesus is not the means to the end. He is the end. He is everything. Jesus didn't come to improve your life. He came to give you himself. And in turn, as he give you himself, he give you life. You know what I'm saying? In the way that he give you life, he transformed you. He turned your life around. He took you from nothing to a son or a daughter of the living God. And I want to say this, that the transformation was not the point. The relationship was it. It's just when you're in Christ and when you're with him, everything else flows. And I want to encourage you today that maybe you're still struggling with this thing, and maybe you're still struggling with that thing, and maybe you're struggling to overcome this and struggle to overcome that. I want you not to worry. I want you to say this, that you are with him. And if you're with him, you have everything. If you're with Jesus, you've got it. Point number three, and then we're gonna get ready to finish up. But here's what I write down as the greatest tragedy. Maybe it's too dramatic, but here's what I think. Is that you could have everything from God, and you could pray and get everything. You could be a prayer warrior and get everything. You could be a mighty man of God or a mighty woman of God, and you could get everything and yet still not want them. Like you could get every blessing. You could get every provision. You could get everything you prayed for and still not want them. I'm telling you, the goal of life is not to get everything you want. The goal of life is to know him more. The goal of life is to know him more. The goal of life is to know how much he loves you. The goal of life is to go, oh my goodness, the Son of God died for me. And not just that, but he's given me life and he's given me purpose, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he knows me and he loves me beyond a shadow of a doubt. Church, this is what real life is. See, God can give blessings, but I want intimacy. I don't just want provision, I want intimacy. I don't want just protection, I want intimacy. I don't just want breakthrough, I want intimacy. And this has always been a test. You remember Exodus 33:15? God says, I want you to go here, guys. I want you to go over there, Moses. And Moses says, unless you go with us, we won't go. You see, there's something about the Lord, church, where he challenges us and he gives us the power to pray. And he says, you can pray and you can receive a whole bunch of stuff. But I'm trying to see where your heart's at. I'm trying to see why you're following me. I'm trying to see. And every night again, the Lord makes a test for us. Not a test to fail us, a test to pass us. But he puts a test out to prove us. And just like in Exodus 33, he asks the same question today. Hey, away you go. Away you go. But here's how you pass the test. Lord, I won't go unless you come with me. Lord, I don't want the things without you. I don't want the provision without you. I don't want the home. I don't want the wife. I don't want the life. I don't want the kids if I don't have you. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. This is what Moses said, church. And this is what the Lord's desire is for us today. But here's the thing. He can't make you do it. He can't force you to do it. This is something that you have to get. And it's only birthed out of relationship. It's only birthed out of love. It's only birthed out of walking with him. It's only birthed out of tasting his goodness. But once you taste, once you see, once you know, that changes everything. You're like, Lord, are you coming? You know, it's like one of those times where you've got a best friend and they say, hey, you just go on ahead, I'll meet you there. And you're like, no, I don't want to go unless you're coming. Can we just go together? Can we just go together? I know we're going to be late, but I'd rather be late and together than you never come. Come on, this is what friendship with the Lord is like. This is what friendship with Jesus is like. Number three, don't settle for less without realizing. You see, peace instead of his presence is not enough. Let me just say that, church. Peace instead of his presence is never enough. Because you can have peace, but what happens when it runs out? I want his presence. And you can have his peace and his presence. Because peace without his presence is not enough. There's more. There is so much more. I want his peace, but I want to get it. And I want to feel him. And I want to know him. I want his presence. I want to know him. Help instead of him. Gosh, I don't want that. I don't want help and not him. I want help and him. I want him and then he'll help me. But if he doesn't help me, it's okay because I've got him. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Doesn't matter. If I've got him, I've got everything. If I've got him, it's okay. If I've got him, it's going to be okay. If I've got him, it's going to be okay. Church, if you've got him, it's going to be okay. His presence, his goodness, his life. Last point, Jesus is the price. There's nothing greater than Jesus. Here's what it says. Paul writes in Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss compared to knowing Jesus. Now, can we just underline this word just for a minute? Because it can fool us. This is not, when we think knowing, we think knowledge. But to know in this context is intimacy. To know in this context is like touch. To know in this context is like, I know him. It's like, I know him. I have felt him. This is not just information off Google. You know, sometimes you can go for a test. You can learn the information and you can put it down on the page. But a week later, you haven't a clue. What? Photosynthesis? What? It's like, you haven't a clue. I don't even know how to spell it. You know, it's like, haven't got a clue. But if it's deeper than that, if you know, then you don't forget. It's why our testimony is so powerful. You might forget the word of God, but you won't forget what God's done for you. It's why we got to share that good news. Now, is it worth knowing the word of God? Yes. But there's a difference between knowing it and knowing it. We're going to go really Irish tonight. There's a difference between knowing it and knowing it. You know what I'm trying to say? I could learn a few verses and quote them back to you, but will I remember them in a month's time? Will they affect my life? Will they be hidden in my heart? Can I apply them to something? Do I understand them enough to apply them? And I want to encourage us today that when Paul met Jesus, he said this, I count everything as loss, everything. And the second part's just as dramatic as the first part because he counts everything as loss compared to knowing Christ. He knew Jesus. He walked with them. He went through hard times. He went into prison with them. He came out of prison with them. He went into battles with them, came out of battles. I know a few of us go through battles, but Paul literally got beat. He literally got beat throughout his cities and went back in again because he knew Jesus. Do you remember what he said one time? Guys, I'd love to die. I would love to die because I would get to heaven. I would get to heaven. I get to be with Jesus. But you know what he turns around and says? To die is gain, but to live is Christ. Of course it would be an advantage to die because I get to be with Jesus. All this hard stuff's over. All this rubbish is over. All the hurt, all the pain. We would say all the haters, you know, all the haters is over. If Paul was on social media, he was getting battered every second of every day. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. It's just going, going, going. And he turns around and says, I'd love to die because I'd be with Jesus. But I stay because of you. I stay because of him. I stay because I'm called. I stay because of his love. I stay because I know him. I stay because he loves me. Church, when you know Jesus, you will go through the fire and out the other side. When you know Jesus, you will overcome every battle. When you know Jesus, you will make it. You will make it. And not only will you make it, you will get better and better and better. And let me encourage you, life is a long life. You may be going through a tough season right now, but with Jesus, you will get better and better and better. And I believe you're going to get sweeter. You're going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. John 6, we go back there again. I want to give you another verse. Verse 68, after Jesus said in verse 66, after we find out that a lot of people left him, then Jesus comes to the disciples. He says, guys, do you want to go too? Will you just send it for the Happy Meal? Will you just send it for the McDonald's? Will you just send it for the... Because you know what it's like sometimes. You don't know if someone's truly a friend until the test comes. Were you in it because you knew I was a millionaire? You ever heard those stories of people that win the lottery or become millionaires and they just don't tell anybody because they're like, the minute we tell, I'll have so many best friends, it'll be unbelievable. You know, they just don't tell anybody. But Jesus turns around to his disciples. He goes, okay, the cat's out of the bag. Do you stay or go? Here's what they say. Verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where would we go? Like, where would we go? They find Jesus. And this was the difference. Imagine, church, the majority find his supply. A few find him. The majority ate, everybody, in fact, everybody ate the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everybody had full bellies. Everybody saw the miracle. But only 12 find Jesus. The other 20,000 had their bellies full. That was it. I'm telling you, church, you can come to this place every Sunday and you can get your belly full and never meet Jesus. That's scary. That's scary. You could be here and receive all the good things and never fully connect with Jesus. Don't let that be the case. I want to say to you, we're making it plain and simple today. Where else would we go but to the Lord? Where else would we go when we have found Jesus? Where else would we go when we start to realize that cars, money, and fame is not enough? Where else can we go? We can go to Jesus. And he will forever transform you. And he will forever love you. And he will forever change you. And he will forever love you. I want to read words of a song from Third Day. Anybody, hands up if you remember a band called Third Day. Anybody? Come on, Stevie. Come on. Well, there's actually quite a few people. Okay, we're getting older. Oh, gosh. So Third Day, they were a great band back in the day, and they wrote some great songs. Now, they wrote a song called Love Song. Let me read the words to you. You might know the song. You might never listen to it, but these words are crazy. This is what the guys write for the chorus. Just to be with you, I'd do anything. Just to be with you. Just to be with you, I'd do anything. There's no price I would not pay. Just to be with you, I would give anything. I would give my life away. That's why it was called Love Song. Because what this band discovered was, as they began to sing about Jesus and walk with Jesus, that it became about love. That it became about Jesus. That nothing else mattered. In fact, once you taste of him, you don't want anything else because he's just so incredible. So incredible. And they write this song of devotion and this song of love. And they just begin to sing it around the stadiums. Thousands and thousands of people. Thousands and thousands of places. Just to be with you, I'd give anything. Just to be with you, I would do anything. It was just a love song. It was an overflow of their heart. And this takes me back to like 20, 25 years ago when I'm a younger Christian. Like 18, 19, I discover this song and I'm going, oh my goodness, God, this is it. Because going to church was awesome, but it wasn't it. And doing things for God was awesome, but it wasn't it. And going to mission trips is awesome, but it's not it. And praying with the sick is awesome, but it's not it. And then I began to discover Jesus is even better. And you can have a relationship with him. And it was through songs like this that he took my heart deeper and deeper and deeper. And I started to realize, oh, this is it. This is it. Church, I want to tell you, be useful for God 100%. But it's not it. It's Jesus. It's a relationship with him. And it's worth fighting for. And it's worth dwelling in his presence. And it's worth seeking his face. And it's worth being with him. So I want to let your heart be stirred today. Let your heart be stirred with Jesus. Let me read one or two more verses and we're done. Me and the girls this week, sometimes the girls decide to read the Bible when they don't want to go to sleep. Just saying. But we started to read. And we were reading the Bible, and then we got to Revelation. And I know how we got to Revelation, but they decided to go to Revelation. So I know how it goes. They're not going to go to sleep till we ask a few questions. So we ask a few questions, we get to some places, and they read some stuff. But it really tied in with what we're talking about today. And we went to the 7 churches. And this is John on the island of Patmos. He begins to get a vision from God. He begins to get a dream. And the Lord starts to give him a word for 7 real churches in Asia Minor. And he begins to talk to them. And he writes it down. And then he begins to deliver it afterwards. But the first church we come to is the church of Ephesus. It's a church of love. And we begin to read about it. And I want to read it to you. It says this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. If you got your Bibles, this one's worth looking up because I'm going to challenge you again. Read John 6, read Revelation 21, and then read Revelation 20, chapter 2, and it'll take you about 30 minutes and you'll be so blessed. And here's what it says. He comes to the church. He says, guys, I love you guys. I think you're awesome. That's basically what he says. And then he says, you have persevered and have endured hardship for my name. This is unbelievable. You have persevered. You've endured hardship for my name. In other words, you've been an awesome church. And you have not grown weary. This is so good. They're doing so good for Jesus. They're doing such good work for him. Yet, it's not finished. This is like the but. Verse 4. I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Wow. It's possible to work for Jesus and not love Jesus. It's possible to work for Jesus. It's possible to do incredible things on the planet for Jesus. And your love for him is at like 1%. It's possible to be busy for God and not know God. It's possible to be doing incredible things for God, being on TV, going on mission trips, doing blogs, doing YouTubes, having a million subscribers, whatever you dream of. It's possible to have all of that stuff and not love Jesus because you don't spend any time with them. And this is what the Lord says to the church in Ephesus in the first church. He says, I love all your good deeds. I love that you're praying for the sick. I love that you're healing people. I love you're transforming people. I love that you're persevering in hard times. I love that you're not growing weary. Yet I've got this one thing against you. You don't love me the way you first did. Wow. Now, I don't know your context, but let's say you're in a marriage. If your wife or husband comes to you and says, hey, I've loved the last 20 years, but I just don't think there's any love left. That's a hard thing, guys. That's a hard thing. Or maybe you've got a best friend and you've been walking for a long time together and then they hit you and you go, whoa, that's a low blow. But if it's a true blow, oh my goodness. You don't love me the way you did. I love the stuff you do. I'm not saying I'm bad against that, but I don't really want the stuff. You know what I had a thought of this even this morning, church? You know, sometimes we look around and we see people go to ourselves. Maybe I just had this flashing thought, and I thought to myself, wow, imagine if people that had a lot of money started giving to people with less money. Do you know what I think sometimes would happen? The people with less money would turn around and go, I don't need your money. The money's not going to really transform. It might transform a few things, but I might have more than you think. I might have more than you think. And I want to encourage you, church, you might have a mega ministry, but if you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. You may be a new Christian, but if you love Jesus, oh my goodness, you're the richest man or woman on the planet. If you're 6 years into loving the Lord and you're still loving Jesus better, let's say the same as the first day or maybe even better, you're richer than you know. You're richer than you know. Church, this whole point, this whole life is to love him, is to love him, is to love him. See, the church lost their first love. They were good at hard work. They were good at perseverance. They were good at sound doctrine. But their love for Jesus had faded. Their love for Jesus had faded. I'm not trying to preach this message to get you messed up, to make you feel bad or to leave church and go, oh gosh, that was a good message, but I feel like a rubbish Christian. Come on, that is not the heart of what we're doing here. But you know what truth always does? It exposes. But truth with love gives you a place to be exposed and transformed. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like truth with love gives you an environment where there's love there. So that means there's covering, there's grace, there's mercy, but there's also truth. And it comes like a surgeon's knife and it just cuts through. And it doesn't come to kill me, it comes to set me free, comes to help me, comes to give me better life. That's the goal of a surgeon, to give you a better life, to save your life, to give you life. That's the goal. And the Lord comes with his truth and he comes and he says, guys, what if you don't love me the way you first did? That's the question on your heart. If the answer is, I love you just the same, then awesome. But if it's not that answer, then let the Lord transform you. Let him do something wonderful in your heart today. This isn't a behavior reset. I don't want you to get messed up on that one. I don't want you to go home today and start reading 20 million verses and I'm getting up early all week long. You can do that, but that alone will not be enough. That alone will not be enough. It's like being in a friendship and just saying, I'm going to try really hard. It doesn't work. It's like being in a marriage and just saying, I will change. You won't. It's through conversation and relationship. And automatically you'll begin to change your behavior. Automatically you'll begin to change. So I don't want you to think it's behavior change. Now, if there's some sinful behavior going on, that's pretty good to change that. That's a good thing to change. But if it's just tiny degrees of transformation, I can get a new Bible. Tomorrow morning I'm going for a new Bible. Okay, if the Lord leads you, go for a new Bible, but probably the one you have is okay. But I'm talking about a heart change. I'm talking about a life change. I'm talking about one where it's not about busyness and it's not about performance and it's not about production and it's not about getting busy. It's about sitting. It's about resting with him. It's about just allowing the Lord to minister to your heart. It's about him speaking to your soul and you coming out different. See, heaven without Jesus isn't heaven. It's just another place. It's just another place. And the lottery could do that for you. Probably surgery could do that for you. Probably medication could do an awful lot of that for you. So that can't be it. Because I think, like the Bible says, you could gain the whole world. But if you gained the whole world and didn't find Jesus, you would lose everything. I think a Christian could get everything they ever prayed for. But if they don't get Jesus in the end, what was the point? What was the point? And I want to pray today, church, that you would find Jesus in a way like never before, a best friend. a friend that would stick closer than anybody else. The song I read earlier on, I read the words one more time because then I want to read the last part. It says, just to be with you, I would do anything. There's no price I would not pay. Just to be with you, I'd give anything. I would give my life away. Here's what Jesus does. Here's what the guys write at the end. They flip the verse. They flip the chorus at the end. It says, just to be with you, Jesus speaking, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay. Just to be with you, I give everything. Yes, I give my life away. This is it, church. This is it. He gave his life away for you. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he loved you. And I want to challenge you, encourage you, cajole you, convict you to go after him and to find him, because nothing else will satisfy.